Time to whiz back to Aussie and say hi to business futurist Morris Misolowski. G'day, Morris.
And hello to Phil.
Yeah, Morris, lovely to chat to you. It struck me that we haven't paid a lot of attention to one of the reasons that White Australia exists, and that is called crime. So let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it wasn't for crime, we most probably wouldn't be here in all kinds of ways, because, of course, Australia, as we all know, is a penal colony. It's where all the British sent all the people they didn't want to live with anymore.
Well, this is interesting because it's turned out really rather well, but at the time, I mean, I'm sure it was a hardship, but I'm sure the historians will tell us that, you know, new communities, new relationships, new families, new everything were formed. Okay, these guys were crims, but some of them had only stolen a loaf of bread. So in a way, there was some serendipity there. It was pretty forward thinking for them to transport people for life, as horrible as it sounds.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure that they saw it that way when they were on that boat for 3 months starving to death and out here in chains and being whipped for something. But you're right. And, of course, the Indigenous people, I mean, at the moment, we're having a big issue at the moment around the Indigenous people seeing us coming and being invaders, and quite rightly so. So in Australia, that's a really timely, prickly discussion to have literally right now.
Yeah, I think the nature of dealing with crime, obviously, over the hundreds of years, has changed. It used to be a very gruesome affair, and it was designed, whatever the nasties they did to people, was designed to put anybody else doing off those things. But the age we live in, they think that if somebody commits a crime, the first priority, or the priority, is to rehabilitate them. Is that still in the nature of how crime is going to be dealt with in the future?
Yeah, I think it is. It's even more fundamental than that for me, Phil. Crime's fascinating from the viewpoint of it tells us what society thinks is important and what it doesn't think is important. And you're right that people were transported for stealing a loaf of bread. They were transported for living, if they were a male, with another male. There were all sorts of things back in our deep, dark ages forever that have been what society said was normal and were enforced. And then, for whatever reason, a generation or two later, became not important anymore and ordinary. And that's the most fascinating thing. It's also often said that the way that we treat criminals is a really good indication of the humanity of a society.
Well, we've seen over the years, I'm only going to do the gory stuff now, but we've seen over the years how the technology of that area has improved. When they, you know, the trapdoor gibbet and everything, the idea was to make the death as quick and civilized as possible. But obviously we don't do that anymore, which is what some places do. But the idea is rehabilitation and ease and civility and human nature and all that sort of stuff. What are we seeing going forward, Morris? I can't help thinking petty crime now, they're going to put a bracelet on you and stuff like that.
Well, it's a really difficult issue. And again, in Australia, it's one that we talk about often because we have an abundance of criminals and we don't have an abundance of places to house them. So in fact, there's a lot of conversations going on around whether we should build more prisons, or are we in fact putting people into prison that obviously have to have some sort of retribution attached to them, but they don't necessarily need to be housed or warehoused for a year or two. Now, I can share something with you, I can share with many people. I was actually in prison for 15 years.
Go on.
I was a prison chaplain 15 years as a hobby. And I did it in fact, with my wife, was the first date we ever went on was to a prison farm. And I took her and we sat, and we still talk about it often, we actually sat in a prison farm on a farm on a lovely park bench with an embezzler. And I introduced him to him, introduced her to him on our very first date. So I've got some really strange first-hand history of prisons, especially around Victoria. I visited all of them and did it on a weekly basis and saw firsthand that even though we talked about rehabilitating people, it rarely happened and the system did not rehabilitate. At best, it was an individual that for whatever reason found that to be the time that they should rehabilitate themselves. But honestly, I've never seen the system rehabilitate anybody.
Surely that depends on the nature of the crime. You have to kind of triage the crime, don't you? I mean,
Look, it goes across all sorts, and I literally met everybody from the rapists to the murderers to the drug dealers to the petty crimes to the white collar crimes. Literally met them all, sat with them for many hours, and it really comes back to the individual. What was a difficult thing to do, and a skill that I think that I learned eventually, was to divorce what they did, as difficult and as horrible and as gruesome as it is, not forgive them for it, because that's not my role. It was to divorce myself from them and to treat them as a human, is to look at the human behind that, rather than to categorize them for what they did in those terrible moments of their life. And that comes
is it to, possible that rehabilitation is the wrong word then?
I think
of a better word.
I think it is, because as a society we're trying to whitewash them, we're trying to put them through literally some sort of laundry, and at the other end they come out and they're all pristine and ready to come back and be useful and purposeful. What often is the case is that that's not true. They've learned a series of habits, and that unless those habits are replaced, like any other activity, whether it's eating or running or whatever else, unless you replace them with something else, they'll eventually fall back into them. Not because they necessarily want to, but they don't know anything else. There is no substitute for that. So it's a difficult...
Well, let's talk about the thousands and thousands of people who really, really didn't do it. And they end up in jail because the legal system, as you said, you divorce from the crime, and that's what the legal system does. And the barrister will tell you, essentially, it's a game that they have to play, like chess. What about the thousands of men and women that really didn't do it? That's a big flaw.
There is, but we'll never know. I mean, the only person that knows that up until now is the individual. What's going to happen moving forward, and we're a way away from this, is that we believe that if we do have this thing called artificial intelligence, if we have the Internet of Things, and we've spoken about both those before, Internet of Things is where all of the objects are connected to the Internet, so when they're moved, you can see where they were and how far they've moved and who has them. Artificial intelligence is the ability for technology to think and to look at precedent, to look at case history, to understand the law and to give you an objective view. When you start to put those sorts of technologies together down the track, do we need people? Are we, in fact, better off leaving it third hand to technology and to these devices to decide if, in fact, there was a crime committed, and if so, what's the most appropriate circumstance for the retribution?
Let's talk about a couple of things here. First, I want to hear some more about your stories, because obviously, with relating to what you do now, I'm sure you still had that frame of mind back in the day. This needs to be better. This could be improved. Did you have those, you know, real things could make this
more
effective?
Look, to me, it's actually the same journey that I've taken all the way through, because the conversation I had with them was trying to help them to understand, or assist them to understand, that there was a future. That the reality they were living in now was terrible. It was circumstanced. Most probably they brought about themselves, and let's not dwell on that, but the reality is that for the vast majority there would come a day when they had to go back into society and they had to repurpose, they had to find a new future for themselves. The prison system in those days was gruesome, Phil, I mean literally gruesome. When I first started going in, we have bluestone prisons, I mean literally the big old bluestone bricks, and we had people literally showering outside. And there was the equivalent of a hose stuck in a wall, and that would be what they showered with in front of everybody else. You know, the rooms were cold, the environment was terrible. Literally, they were in the cells where Ned Kelly was hung, and I would walk past where he was hung all, you know, every week or so, and Ryan and a whole lot of other people. So we came from a really very gruesome 100-year-old prison into what now is a very technologically savvy prison, but really, apart from the fact that being a better environment doesn't do much else to rehabilitate.
No, well, I'm assuming, though, that when it's a whole subculture in there. I mean, that's very well known. You only have to watch movies and there's a whole hierarchy and everybody goes a bit tribal. Surely that's the major flaw with how we handle crime.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there are subcultures and it is tribal, but again, most people there, it's not necessarily the way the TV depicts it, strangely enough. But what you need to do is, I mean, you've been divorced from everything that you knew in your life. You're back to ground zero, literally, looking after and fending for yourself. You're in an environment where you have no control. What prison does most effectively is it takes control away from the human, from the moment she or he is put into that environment. And that is, in fact, the most punishing thing, apart from, you know, despite all of the circumstance, all of the physicality, it is the loss of control that most people rally against.
Is this the best that man can come up with? I'm asking you this because I wonder if you think that there's a better way to deal with this.
Yeah, there is.
And as I said, once again, we must, you know, categorize it. You've got the people who really are a danger to society, and you've got your sort of light-fingered petty crims who perhaps should be doing something else. And a community service was a good idea because that does work for some people. But I'm talking a different kind of crime, of course.
Yeah, me too. And there are people that need to be warehoused. There are people that need to be taken out of our society. I have no issue. I'm not a bleeding heart at all. For those people, they need to be put away, far away, and never see daylight again. I have no issue about saying that, and I said it to people's faces as well. But that really is a small subset of people. Let's not even dwell on them. They deserve whatever it is that society wants to give to them. But there are others that we do hope that we do want them back in society, or they will come back into society, because their sentence just isn't long enough to take them through to death, call a spade a spade. So we have to be able to give them something that when they come out, they are citizens that we're happy to sit next to, walk next to, and work next to. Now, to me, it's more of a bridging of keeping somehow the civility of being human, keeping the motions of what it means to be human, not necessarily family and work, but something around the nature of connecting with people in a meaningful way. Those sorts of human things need to come back into this. And I think technology in some ways will help to give us those possibilities. But again, society has to decide what's important and what isn't.
Well, let's go right now back to 1788. And although my observation was a bit daft, that whole notion of being in a community, take away all the punishment and stuff, some good came out of that. This, what we're seeing now, is not a community. So what's the next step forward, do you think?
Look, the next step forward, I think, is really to walk away from the physical, to walk away from the housing, again, leave the people that should be there, and to find more community intervention ways to rehabilitate people. I'm not talking about living next door to us. I'm not talking about living near our kids. We're being sensible about this. But we're saying perhaps we can find a more community-oriented space for them to be, to do more meaningful work. At the moment, they are doing tedious, repetitive, boring work, and many listeners will say they deserve it, and that's no issue about that. But still, we have to talk about, and I've said this a few times already in our conversation, the other end. And I harp on that, Phil, because I saw it firsthand so often, that the more you beat a person down, I don't mean literally, I mean, you know, but the more you beat them down, the more you take them out of society, the more hate they come out with, the more difficult it is for them to rehabilitate. And I could pick, I mean, so could everybody in the system. You can just pick on the day that people that were released, how quickly they would come back and who would come back. And the recidivism was really high, something around 60% in my day.
Is that because it's all they know?
Because they all they know, and there are no bridges back into society. They come out with a meagre amount of money, with a family that often has disowned them, with no possibility of work because no employer will want them. Housing is too expensive. There are all sorts of issues that they face immediately on walking out the door that they're not capable of resolving. They've been inside for 2, 3, 5, 10 years. The world is slightly different, and they have all these issues on top of it, and a system that really doesn't allow them much flexibility. So again, not crying for them, but talking about the logistics, the pragmatism of them coming out and having to reinstitute their lives, it's difficult for them. So we need to do far better at that for them if we want them to come back into society rather than warehousing them for an entire life.
I wonder what the answer going forward is, or the answer in the future is here, because from what you're saying, it sounds like governments all over the world are actually shooting themselves in the foot. Yeah, they get some face by locking up a big bad crim, they get their revenge, they get whatever they want, but they've got more and more and more people festering away in these four square walls. To what end is what I think you're saying.
And governments know that. It's, most people aren't aware, but prisons are actually a business. They're often run by independent contractors who tender to government to run them. And in America, it is a $1 trillion business. In Australia, it is a $1 billion business. There is huge, huge businesses involved in this space. Now, let's not read anything too sinister into that, although I am applying it. But, you know, there is this whole mechanism now about warehousing people that has become profitable. So it's difficult now to have other conversations apart from that.
Has society hit a brick wall here? I mean, you could say it works. I mean, obviously, you're giving me little details to say why it was horrendous. But on the big picture, your average minister's going to say, yeah, mate, that works. Keep them off the streets, etc. But have we really hit a plateau in this area?
No, I just think for the first time ever, we might be able to help some of this or resolve some of this by preventing and being aware of when people are causing harm to society. Again, technology monitoring well, people that are known, and society has to decide who and what and how that happens, but if people are known offenders, let's monitor them using technology. But again, the Internet of Things, a lot of the things that we have that we know will be part of our technology structure can actually keep our belongings and our humans relatively safe, call for assistance when they're not, and monitor that process. So I'm hoping that some of this will rub off on the fact that a lot of the petty crime, a lot of the things that where you know that happen that don't get reported will start to get reported. It's far easier to get things through courts because the evidence is clear cut. I mean, a great example of that in Australia now is the cameras we have in our cars.
Well, there's the thing, Maurice. You know, I mean, one of the next great inventions should be a security camera that gives you more than 4 megapixels. They are the worst in the world. I've got to go to the news now, Maurice. I'd love to carry on, but it's game over for this week. I'll talk to you next week at the same time.
Catch you in a week.